things happen. And God's got some good things, mighty things. Sometimes we don't see it in the natural. But remember, people, God is working. God is moving in a mighty way. God is working and moving. Everybody have an outline this morning. This is a powerful, powerful message that the Lord has given me to share with you. But everybody, make sure you have an outline. Who doesn't have an outline, we want to make sure you get one. Everybody, okay. Rick, there's an outline. Make sure she gets outline. There we go. Thank you. But anyway, not forsaken and not forgotten. God has not forgotten you. He hears your prayers. Why, Lord, does it take so long? Why am I going through what I'm going through? You know what I learned about Christianity? The more faith you get, sometimes the more trouble you get. Well, come on. You're not exempt from it. Jesus said we'd never be exempt from it. He just said he'd be with us to go through it. Some people have the idea if you have faith, you never have a problem. No. But we go through things in life, and we've been praying, we've been believing God, and we wonder, God, when is it going to happen? When is this going to break through? When is this going to happen in my life? When so-and-so or that person going to get victory or things are going to change? Lord, when's my family going to get it together? Why are they out to lunch, Lord, and I'm not? You know, we look at things and we begin to go, why? Remember this, not forsaken and not forgotten. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:8. A key verse that I was looking at. Though we experience every kind of pressure. Can I see your hand? You ever had pressure? Though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. Apostle Paul understands what it means to get beat up, go through trials and tests, and he understands what it be shipwrecked 3 times. Can you imagine in the deep, be stoned, get up, brush himself off, go back into the city? He understands what it means to be abused and cast out, cast down in every sense of the word. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. At times, we don't know what to do. Ever been there? But quitting's not an option. I can't give up. I got to keep praying. We are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We may be knocked down, but we're not knocked out. There's been times that I've thought I was knocked out. But we're not. Christianity doesn't relieve you of not going through hard times. I'm sorry. But as we go through hard times, we've got somebody with us to get us through. But God always has a higher purpose of getting us through or what to do through hard times. He's with us. He was with Apostle Paul no matter what he went through. When Paul wrote this, it's just awesome to see this. So we see all the things that happen in our lives, and we wonder why we're going through this. But yet God always has a way to keep us from being in despair or being crushed or being cast out or being to the place that we just can't do it. He's there when we call upon him. Now we're looking at the children of Israel. Let me give you a little bit of history here. Exodus 1, 7, and 8. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Now remember the story? The brothers sold Joseph into slavery. He was bought by Potiphar and brought into his household. The brothers had sold him out, told dad that he was dead. So they bought him, slave trade, took him to Potiphar's house. Potiphar was the head of all the things in Egypt at the time under the Pharaoh, working in different dimensions. So he had him in his house working. So Joseph, all of a sudden, things are going well. He's got a job. He's doing really good. And all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife decides that Potiphar's not enough. Got to have Joseph. Every day she worked on Joseph, worked on Joseph, worked on Joseph. And Joseph kept saying, I cannot do that, will not do it. I will not sin against God. Not sin against God. Not sin against God. Finally, she lied, said he raped her. Joseph goes to prison, spends his time in prison, and God is blessing Joseph in prison. He's with him, even in prison. He's prospering. They're seeing this Hebrew boy prosper, be blessed. Everything he puts his hands to prospers. So the jailer, the head jailer, puts him in charge of the prison. And then he tells a couple guys, the cupbearer and the butler, two, they had dreams, and so he interprets the dreams for them. And he says, when you get out, remember me and tell the Pharaoh. They forget about him. He's forgotten. Totally forsaken. Can you imagine how it felt? He spends 13 years for something he never did. 13 years. Finally, the Pharaoh has a dream. And he sees seven cows, skinny cows, seven fat cows. And in the dream, he sees seven years of famine and 7 years of fatness. Anyway, the Pharaoh doesn't understand it, so he's getting his wise magicians and all these interpreters to come and tell him the dream. Nobody can do it. The sorcerers, all these people can't interpret the dream. The cupbearer remembers, oh, but there's somebody in prison that interpreted mine. He told the Pharaoh all about his dream. So they go get him. They get Joseph, bring him out, dress him up, shave him, get him before the Pharaoh. And he interprets the dream. He says, Pharaoh, there's going to be seven fat years and there's going to be seven lean years. And so the Pharaoh puts him in charge of everything. He was second to the throne. See, I don't understand this. Joseph's in prison all these years, but see, God had a plan and a purpose. He had not forgotten Joseph. So he puts him ahead of all this, and so Joseph begins to get all this grain, grow all these things for 7 years, and put them in granaries, put them in barns, and store up for 7 years. And then he begins to sell the grain, making a profit, getting the land, and was ahead of the whole thing for the famished years, for 7 years, taking care of the people. Said all of a sudden, his brothers come to buy grain. They don't know, they don't recognize him, and he doesn't tell them who he is. So he sets his brothers up and tells them to go get the youngest one at home and bring him. And they said, you know, if we bring him, something happens to him. And they began to go through this. See, Joseph was testing their hearts and testing his time. Well, make a long story short, all of a sudden, in the end, Joseph reveals who he is tells his brother, I'm Joseph, your brother, who you sold in slavery. And this is what he said. He said, Joseph had every right to be angry and mad and to make their lives miserable, but he didn't. But he said, God put me in this place for a reason, so that you, Israel, could be saved. And so we see Joseph brings his family. His father sees them. They hug and they kiss, and the whole family gets, there's a reunion, and they bring all the people into Goshen. The land of Goshen was one of the greatest places in Egypt. So they're living in Goshen. But as they were there for 400 years, you know, finally Joseph dies. Pharaoh after Pharaoh after Pharaoh is there. And back when it says, everybody came, but nobody remembered Joseph. They never remembered the famine. He never recalled the golden oceans of stored grain in the barns. No one recollected how a wise young Jewish prime minister had stepped out and saved a nation that was ancient history. It was irrelevant, and the mutual strategy established between Joseph and some long pharaoh is completely forgotten. But God never forgets. The new pharaoh despised the Hebrew population, so now a new pharaoh comes. So you have all the people that were living in the land of Goshen, and the pharaoh is threatened because they're growing so and they're multiplying, and he's afraid of what's going to happen. The multiplying Hebrews couldn't be ignored, so they were a threat to the pharaoh. Now look at Exodus 1:9. It says, and he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we are. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen. In the event of war, that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land. And so you have a whole new way of life came to pass for the Hebrews. Notice the change. It changes from living in luxury, having everything you ever wanted. Exodus 1:11. Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses. Now, when you look at this, it seemed life would never be the same for them, and it never was. Before, they had ease, they had abundance, they had prosperity. Now they have taskmasters and a whip. Things change. As long as Joseph lived, the Israelites knew peace, they knew joy, they knew relaxation in the sunny fields of Goshen. From now on, they were to make bricks under the harsh slave drivers in the crack of the whip. And here's what we see. Things can be going along fine in our lives. Everything seems to be going good. Everything's flowing right. And all of a sudden, something comes right in and puts a wrench in the whole works. There's a tragedy, or somebody's sick, or they have an attack in the home, or the finances, somebody loses their job, and everything just seems to just cave in. And sometimes you feel like, where was God? Lord, what happened? Did I do something wrong? We begin to blame ourselves. We begin to look at ourselves and say, what did I do? What did I do? What did I do? When we go through changes, we go through hard times, when we used to have good times and everything seems to be going right, in the midst of chaos, remember this. Number one, write this down. God promises never change. They are enduring promises. His promises never changed. People, even though things may have been going good for a time, and all of a sudden something just, the enemy gets in there or something happens, and we find ourselves going through one of the greatest trials and greatest tests. Sometimes we have questions. we feel like, wow, what happened? First Peter 1:25 says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. See, God's destiny never changes no matter what. God's destiny for you will never change. It'll never change no matter what. He's not moved by what you're going through to the place that he's just wringing his hands. God already knows that he's there with you in the midst of that. And he can change it up. Look at Exodus 2:23. However, after a long time, nearly 40 years, the king of Egypt died. Now, and the Israelites were sighing and groaning because of the bondage, sighing because of the weariness of making bricks of without straw, slave masters just abusing them and just doing everything they can against them. They were sighing and groaning because of the bondage. They kept crying. You notice the word, they kept crying? And their cry became, because of slavery, ascended to God. Now, when you get in a position long enough, I think you'll get to the place that you begin to cry out to God. How many people get so desperate, but they still never cry to God? I'll do this myself. I can work this myself. I'll make it happen myself. Maybe they get angry. Maybe they get upset. But all of a sudden, they're going through this situation or mess in their life, but never cry out to God. They finally came to the end of the rope, and they cried out. And verse 24 says, and God heard. Everybody say, and God heard. God heard their sighing and groaning, and earnest remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you go through, no matter what people deal with, the destiny never changes. God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Look at Galatians 3:16. Now the promises, covenants, and agreements were decreed and made to Abraham and his seed, his offspring, his heir. We are heirs. We are the offspring. We are heirs of Abraham. He well remembered his promise to the sons and daughters of Jacob. God said that there would be a people and there would be seed after Abraham. And what it is, it's the nations of the world. It's Israel. It's all of us. As a seed of Abraham, there would be a seed that would come. His name is Jesus Christ. And that he would have seed after his kind. And that's us as Christians. So God had a plan and purpose that never changes. His promises never change people, no matter what we go through. Genesis 15:13 says, and God said to Abraham, know positively that your descendants will be strangers dwelling as temporary residents in a land that is not theirs, Egypt. They will be slaves there and will be afflicted and oppressed for 400 years. Now get this. God had prophesied to Abraham that the Israelites would go through this. Did they go through it because of choices they made? Did they go through it because they weren't listening to the voice of the Lord or listening to God? Not necessarily. God was going to show himself strong on behalf of a nation of people, and the whole world would know that God exists by what he did. So they grew for 400 years, and all of a sudden the new Pharaoh comes, and all of a sudden he wants to shut the whole thing down and changes it up. What once was ease and comfort and joy and all that became burden and taskmasters and abuse and tragedy. God still has a plan and a purpose, no matter what we face. See, verse 14, but I will bring judgment on that nation whom they will serve. And afterward, they will come out with great what? great possessions. After several hundred years under the yoke of that brutal people, they were delivered. They will leave the land. A deliverer would come, a man handpicked by God himself, a leader uniquely prepared to deal with both Israelites and the Pharaoh himself, and his name was Moses. Moses. See, I've learned something. No matter what you go through, if your trust is in God, God always makes it better on the other end. If you will trust him. What the enemy has stolen from you, God will bring back double fold. See, Job, through the whole book of Job, Job lost everything. The devil went in there and stole everything from Job. But you'll notice that Job had double the possessions after he trusted God. No matter what you go through, no matter what's been torn away out of your life, no matter what the enemy, how he's gotten there, ripped you off and stole from you, God will always make a way to bless you more than you had stolen. That's God. And it's what he did to the children of Israel. They came out of Israel with gold and silver. They took everything was given to them, and they took everything out of Israel more than it ever dreamed. Write this down, number two. Persecution or hard times will either make us either bitter or better people. The choice is ours. Let's look at 1 Peter 4:12. I like this. Beloved friends, if life gets extremely difficult. Wow. Thanks, Peter. Why'd you have to bring that up? If life gets extremely difficult with many tests, don't be bewildered as something strange were overwhelming you. Instead, continue to rejoice. How many of you rejoice when you're going through the fire? It's hard to, isn't it? You know what we do? We complain. We gripe and we complain because we're going through what we're going through. Instead of rejoice. See, rejoice means to rejoy, to get your joy back, because what we go through, the enemy wants to steal your joy. You know that? He wants to steal your joy. And I have found out that sometimes joy is stolen from Christian people with little tiny things that have nothing to do with anything. Isn't it amazing? We will let the slightest thing steal our joy. Well, that person didn't talk to me. Well, that person looked at me funny. And we have it in our craw for the rest of the week or the day. You know what I'm saying? Just little peddly things. But the enemy wants to just take that joy out. It says to rejoice in the midst of it. Get, rejoice. Re it up. Start worshiping God and rejoicing no matter what. Now, listen, instead, continue to rejoice. For you in a measure have shared in the sufferings of the anointed one, so that you can share in the revelation of his glory and celebrate with even greater gladness. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are greatly blessed, because the Spirit of glory and power, who is the Spirit of God, rests upon you. All right. So here it is. We have a choice. We can allow and complain and let the enemy steal our joy, or we can rejoice and allow the glory of God to be unveiled in our lives. I'll take the glory. So every situation we look at, God has not forsaken us. He's not forgotten us. We have to look at it and say, I have a thing that I can do here. I can either get mad, complain, be upset about it, And I'm not saying people, we don't get upset about things. That's part of life. But I have to make a choice. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to let the enemy rip the joy out of my life? Or am I going to rejoice in the midst of this and let the glory of God come into this situation? Now look at this. You'll notice this. There is a glory unveiled in us as we focus on Christ in the midst of our difficulties. There's a glory that will come in the midst of that. This is interesting. Yet the greatest joy, I'll get this, will be as we are free from all the pain, all the garbage in this world when we go into eternity. Yeah, but what do we do while we're here? But if you look at that scripture, it says this, instead, continue to rejoice, for you in the measure have shared in the sufferings of the anointed one, Jesus, so that you can share in the revelation of his glory. When you get to heaven? No, right now. It is up to us what we do in the midst of the hardships and tests. We can either rejoice in the midst and put our trust in God and say, God, you're God no matter what. And as we begin to do that, the glory of God that's inside of you will be released forth in the midst of that thing. And you'll look at it from a total different angle and say, ain't letting this steal my joy. I'm not going to let this rip me off. No way is that going to happen. The Israelites multiplied and they spread out through persecution. You'll find out that even in the midst of persecution all over the world, persecution drives people more to Christ. It drives people together, and it drives, increases more people to come together. Exodus 1, 12, 13. Let's look at this. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. It's like they just couldn't stop them. It's like a Christian. You just can't stop this person. No matter what they face, they just go through it. They get through it. And they got a smile on their face. Why are they smiling? Because of God. I looked up the word dread. It means to have and a disgust for and horror, a sickening feeling. Can you imagine the Pharaoh and all the Egyptians? They're seeing these people just get blessed. They're prospering. They're even more blessed the more that they afflict them. They're increasing because the blessing of the Lord was on their life. And can you see these guys going, I can't believe this. I got a sick feeling in my stomach. We're just not going to get these people to just die. They're not going to quit. They're not going to give up. No matter what they were facing, no matter what they were going through, the Egyptians' insecurity and disgust for their Jewish neighbors even led to more savage, more brutalness. Let me say this. Brutal people are often driven by fear. They're driven by fear. Fear of loss, fear of humiliation, fear of exposure, fear of weakness, fear of losing control. And the Egyptians were wallowed in fear. Fear drove them to be more vicious in their acts of injustice. When Pharaoh saw that the harsh conditions of slavery didn't achieve his ends, he turned up the persecution even more. And you know what he did? He decided, I'm going to kill all the firstborn infants, all the males. I'll fix this. Exodus 1, 15, 16. Let's look at this. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name one was Shipra and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, then she shall live. Now here's Pharaoh acting under the compulsion of fear, holds a private conference with these midwives, representative midwives, but the midwives feared God. Look at Exodus 1:17. But the midwives feared God, and they did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing? and saved the male children alive. And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Now, this is awesome. These ladies are giving the Pharaoh a story of his life, and he's buying it. He's buying it. These ladies feared God more than they feared the laws of the king. That's the way it should be. If the government says you can't serve God anymore, what are you going to do? Well, I guess we have to obey the laws of the land. No, you obey a higher law, God's law. They told the king that these women are fast. I mean, when we hear about them to give birth, we rush over to the house and zip, it's over. The baby's already there. So what can we do, Pharaoh? Who was he, the king, to argue with a couple of midwives? Those courageous women, as Scripture would later say in Hebrews, even Moses' own parents had said in Hebrews, were not afraid of the king's edict. They didn't obey it. Praise God for such courageous people of faith. All over the world, as you read these words, God's people are being hounded and persecuted for their allegiance of Jesus Christ. There's people dying all over the world for their faith. They're standing fast in the face of edicts of kings and presidents and generals and party commissars. They're saying, no, we won't do the things you're asking us to do. We refuse to deny our Lord, and they're paying the price for it, people. As Peter once told the Jewish ruling council, we must obey God rather than man. They told him to shut his mouth and quit preaching the gospel. And he said, we obey God rather than man. Went out and started preaching. How many people would compromise and say, well, I don't want to get messed with, so I'm not going to do it. No, God's law is higher. God's ways are higher. Scripture tells us that God honored the faith of these midwives. Now get this. The midwives stood up against the king and said, ain't happening. King, you know, the Israeli women are just much better than the Egyptian women. They're fair. They just push babies out left and right before you even get there. They already had a baby. This is awesome. I want you to see something here. Exodus 1:20. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives. And the people multiplied and grew very mighty. They just kept going. And so it was because of the midwives feared God that he provided them households for them. Isn't that awesome? When you put God first, blessings come. When you put God first and you denounce doing anything stupid, God's blessings will come on you. See, God remembered the midwives because he said, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to take the baby after the baby's born and take the midwives, take the baby in another room and tell the parent after they come back, say, oh, your baby died. They weren't going to do that. They feared God. And because they feared God, God remembered the respect and honor they had for God. You know what this might mean? It might mean that they found husbands, married, and had homes and families of their own. God just set them up and said, hey, I'm going to bless you. You're going to have families of your own. You're going to have your own children. You're going to have the blessings I'm going to give you because you stood up and you didn't compromise. Compromise will steal the blessings of God. The midwives valued God's favor more than the Pharaoh. Motivated by a deep and abiding reverence for the living God, they defied the king's wicked command. You know, and we get people that say, well, everybody else is doing it. We're going to do it too. We'll just live together. We won't get married. We'll just have sex and fornication. But we never fear God of what we're losing out on. We're losing out on the blessings of God. And it's not just that. There's so many different things. We justify, we compromise, and we miss the blessing of God. We've got to trust God that God will take care of everything for us. Because if we honor him first and we respect him and reverence him first, he will take care of everything for you. He will make a way for it to happen. And these women refused the king. You don't refuse the king. I'm going to say this. If we would have never had the changeover in our presidency, I really feared Christianity. Does that make sense? Your privileges would be pretty much eroding a little more at the time. More and more, they would have kept eroding away. Thank God that we have the freedom and the liberty to worship God in this place the way we do. Amen? Thank God we have that. But in the days of Exodus, there also lived men and women ready to stand alone for righteousness, even in the face of death. Just as there are today, God always has witnesses, those that will stand for him and say, Lord, no matter what, I want to please you. See, no matter what we go through, people, no matter the tests and the trials and everything that seems going wrong, we must honor God first. We must reverence him. We must live pure lives. Our lives should be pure before the Lord, because when you refuse compromise and you walk in purity to please God, God is going to make sure, like the midwives, that you're taken care of. Amen? God wants to take care of his own people. And that's what he did. Let's look at this. Remember some of the truths of the scripture. A, hard times don't erase God's promises. Hard times don't erase the promise of God. If God has given you a promise this morning, hang on to it. If God has spoken to you about something, hold on to your dream. Amen? Hold on to that dream. Hold on to that promise. If God has said he's going to save your family, you hang on to that. And you believe God for that. Don't let go of the promise of God. You've been declaring the promises. You've been speaking the promises. You've been holding them before the Lord and said, Lord, your word says, I trust your word and I trust you. Hold on to that. Doesn't erase the promises of God. God is still God no matter what you face, you go through, no matter what you lose, you don't lose. He's still God, and he's not forsaken you, and he's not forgotten you. Exodus 2:24 in the God's word says, and he remembered his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, these people found themselves in terrible straits, but God had promised, I'll send a deliverer, Moses. When times grow hard, it is easy to leap to the conclusion that God has forgotten about his promise. The promises are not working. You know, I've been doing this. Lord, I've been believing this. I've been confessing this. What's going on? When God promises you something, he never forgets it, people. You may forget. I may forget. The whole nation may forget, but God cannot forget. He cannot forget. At a proper moment, at the time determined before the foundation of the world, he will send forth his son. Again, the mighty King of Kings will return to deliver the blood-bought people of God. He promised it. Jesus came. He said, I'm coming back, and I'm coming back for my people. You can guarantee it. It's going to happen. God isn't going to change his mind because of some nation or country that says, well, we're just going to annihilate Israel and just get rid of it. It's not that easy. Because God is still God. Israel is still his nation. And I was watching something that Reverend Ken gave me on the Six-Day War. And you had Syria, you had Saudi Arabia, and you had Jordan, all these people against Israel. And Israel defeated them in the Six-Day War. Yeah, there was casualties. But people had been waiting for independence of Jerusalem for so many years. That was the first time that the Jews had taken control of Jerusalem in all those centuries without some other foreign country taking control. 1948, they became a nation. And all these people just said, we're not going to allow Israel. We're going to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Why? Because God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that everything he promised would be fulfilled. No matter what they went through, it would be fulfilled. No matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're facing, God has promised you that your destiny will be fulfilled if you put your trust in him. He will return with justice. The living God will not forget what he has promised to his people. B, write this down. Hard times doesn't escape God's notice. Do you think God doesn't notice what you feel, what you're going through, what you're struggling with? Exodus 2:25. God saw the Israelites being oppressed and was what? Concerned. Do you think God is not concerned about his people? Oh, people, he's concerned about you. Exodus 3:7. Let's look at this. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. There isn't one thing that God doesn't know about you, how you feel, what you're going through. Do you know that every tear you've ever shed are bottled in heaven? But you never knew that. It's in Scripture. It says your tears are bottled in heaven. Every tear you ever shed, when you get to heaven, there will be a container with your name on it of every tear you've ever shed. You say, why? I don't know. Ask God. God cares about every detail of your life. He's not forgotten you. Do you ever imagine that your hard, harsh moments test to escape God's notice? No way. You may become so discouraged. Sometimes you may be filled with pain that you begin to think that God is not aware of your circumstances, or if he's aware, he doesn't care. That is a lie from the enemy himself. Psalms 34:19, it says this, the righteous person faces many what? Oh, you mean the heathen don't face them? Yeah, they face them, but you have a way out and you have somebody going through it with you that they don't. The righteous person faces many trouble, but the Lord comes to rescue each time. I may go through the valley of the shadow of death sometimes, but God is with me. The shadow of death. It doesn't mean you've died yet and you're going to die. It means it feels like you're dead. Feels like everything could come against you is going to kill you. But it's just a shadow. But God goes through the valley of the shadow of death with you. God is always aware. He cares very deeply, people. He will do whatever it takes to rescue his people. His deliverance may not arrive on our timetable or in the manner we think it should, but it will arrive at the best time, the right time. He will not abandon his own people. He just won't. Write this down. See, heavy tests and trials don't hide from God, from view of God's concern. 1 Peter 5:7. Pour out all your worries and stress upon him. Leave them there. Notice it said, leave them there. Why do we keep taking them up? Rehearsing and nursing. For he always tenderly cares for you. Isn't that awesome? God cares for you. God is always watching over you with tender care, people. Regardless of how hard the test you may face, it can never overshadow the concern God has for you. Remember how God rewarded those midwives. He misses nothing. He misses nothing. Let me close with this. Perhaps this has been a difficult year for you. Some of you may have had a difficult year. It seems like everything is going wrong. It seems like everything you touch just falls apart. But I'm going to tell you something. These are still new beginnings. God is still God. He has a plan and a purpose, and he's not going to let you get knocked out. You may get knocked down, but you're not going to get knocked out. Paul said all these things happened to him, but he still got up. They brought him outside the city and stoned to kill him. He gets up. People stand around, pray for him. He rises up. Go, let's go back in the city, boys. We got a job to do. Wow. The future stretching out before you may sometimes seem gloomy or threatening. All of a sudden, things are going fine, and all of a sudden, things go, meh. My sister texted everybody in the family. She lives in Texas, Sabrina. Her grandson had a lot of pain. Took him to the hospital, and his appendix exploded, ruptured. And in my mind, I'm praying for a little boy, Matthew. Well, Matthew's probably a teen now. He's probably 12, 13. But it just, I don't want to, who wants to see anybody go through this? Our loved ones, our family, our people we know just suffer like that. We hate that. Hate the devil. Well, all of a sudden, the doctors took care of it. And that happened while we were just leaving to go at Debbie's. Well, I got a text last night that he's been complaining of bad pains in his back and his stomach. Well, all the infection, they didn't get everything. All that infection set into his body. And now they misdiagnosed it. They didn't even know what they're doing. And the parents are upset. The grandparents are upset. So now they got to take him to Fort Worth, Texas for a specialist to do this. I woke up last night in the middle of the night. I couldn't sleep. And I said, God, this shouldn't be. Not only with Matthew, but also with Carrie Felton, that they did a benefit for yesterday to raise money that has cancer. And the cancer's in remission, and, you know, the devil wants to bring it back and forth. But here's the thing. I just prayed for both of those people, and I just lifted them up and said, God, let your glory be revealed in these people. Listen, people, that's how we have to pray. Let your glory be revealed. Show them doctors your glory. Show the people your glory by raising these people up. And just pray for them. I mean, I was finding myself begging God for these things. Lord, you're a big God. You're an awesome God. You're a healer. You're a deliverer. You see everything. You know everything. Heal them. That's how we, people, that's how we need to be. That prayer list that's going around, you know, when we pray, we need to pray, God, show your glory. Reveal your glory. Show them who you are. In the midst of the trials and tests, everything they're facing, everything they're going through, reveal your glory. Let your glory be revealed. And that's what it said in the scripture, that God wants to show his glory in the midst of it if we will rejoice and we will begin to focus on him. But if we focus on the problem, we focus on everything else that's happening, the devil will steal our joy, and we cannot allow the devil to steal our joy. We've got to rejoice. And so sometimes we just got to rejoice in the midst of the situation. Lord, I just rejoice in you. I rejoice in the midst of this mess because you're for us. You're not against us. You have never left me. You've never forsaken me, and you're not going to do it now. God's never going to do it now. God wants us very much to be his man or his woman. But you got to find yourself under the gun sometimes. In your rare moments of quiet, you may wonder sometimes, God, where are you in the midst of this? I think about people, even that little boy, Matthew. I've never met Matthew. Never met him all these years. But he's got to be wondering right now, I feel forsaken. But he's not. He has a family that loves him, people that are praying for him. You know what? God is right there at his side. He's at your side, my friend. He has never left. He will never remove his eyes from us, nor his attention wander to other matters, not even for a heartbeat. God will not allow it. He has never ceased caring for us. He never ceases thinking about you, considering your situation, and loving you with passion, intensity beyond any of our comprehension. Hudson Taylor wrote this on one occasion. He said this, "It doesn't matter how great the pressure is. What really matters is where the pressure lies, whether it comes between you and God or it presses you nearer to his heart to trust God. Let the pressure push you to God. It was no accident that you were born into this particular era that we're in. At this very juncture in history, in our nation and in our world, God is looking for a man or a woman who will yield to his purposes and seize the day for his glory to shine and to come forth. He's looking for that. He's looking for people that will rise up with faith and confidence and walk in purity and reverence and respect for him and make the choices to say, God, we choose to serve you like those midwives. And they got blessed. God didn't forget them. Yeah, sometimes we feel unqualified, we feel uneducated, we feel untrained, undergifted, or even unworthy sometimes. Yet as you see how God uses us by qualifying us through his excellent qualifications to do the work that God wants to do in our lives. That's what God wants to do. No matter through the struggle that Israel went through, God had never forgotten them. Never forgotten them. He never forgotten the midwives because they made the choice and said, ain't happening, King. We're not, there's a higher purpose and a higher law. We will trust God. You know, I used to always think that the Israelites for 400 years forgot God. No, they didn't. During the 400 years, remember, they were living at ease. They were living in the land of Goshen. They were living in, they had everything they could ever wanted. Don't think for one time that they never had their Passovers. They never had their feast days. They never celebrated. They had the freedom to celebrate all those years. They had it good. What made them upset is when God directed them out of Egypt, where they had the leeks and the garlics and they had everything they ever wanted, but there was bondage. And he let them out. That's when they begin to complain. But I believe they were reminded of God's goodness the whole time they were there. They just forgot how good God was. Because once they started going through the wilderness and started going through tough times, they didn't get things handed to them, but God was teaching them who he was and what he could do. They complained. They got bitter, they got angry, and they would say, we wish we could go back to Egypt where we had the leeks and the garlics, and we had the McDonald's baskets full of chicken tenders. We had malts and fries, and we had it so good, God. What are you doing? I remember the day, Lord, I had cars and I had this, I had that. God's going to bless you better than you've ever been blessed. I was watching a movie, and in the movie, you had all these CEOs, and this really happened years ago. You had all these CEOs. I mean, they were making three figures easy. One guy was making $2 million a year, and it was like it wasn't enough. And they had cars and houses and Porsches, and it's showing, you know, they had everything they ever wanted, but they didn't have family. Too busy. All of a sudden, he lost his job. He can't even get a job. He's frustrated, and he refuses not to dress successful. And the wife says, Honey, my brother has a construction company. They're rebuilding a house or remodeling. Why don't you go ask him for a job? He said, no, I'll never do that. Had it too good, you know. I'm going to be back in the CEO. I'm going to be back on top. Complained, got angry, forgot. His son was there playing basketball, wishing dad would come and play basketball with him. I ain't got time for the kids. Never had time. As time went by, he couldn't get a job. He started working for his brother-in-law. Didn't know what he was doing. Went up there, hanging sheetrock, carrying, made him carry, be the gopher, carry everything upstairs, and made him do all the tough stuff to see what he's made of. His brother-in-law made fun of him. Oh, heaven forbid you don't have your Porsche. He had to sell everything, get rid of everything. But he's working for him. But he's finding purpose. He's finding out what's important. It's his wife and his children. It's family. And he sees his son playing basketball one day, and he puts his work stuff down, goes over there and plays basketball with his son. And all of a sudden, other CEOs that were with him got fired. One committed suicide because he just couldn't handle it. See, that was his life. Not realizing that during the tough times that God would be there, God would always make a way. And it would change us to understand what's important in life. Eventually, he got a job starting a company of somebody else that got fired and starting their own company. And did he make what he was going to make? Nope. He wasn't making the $120,000 a year he wanted to make, plus bonuses, plus all the, you know, take the corporate jet anytime he wanted. He wasn't going to do that. But he was happy. He had his family. He had his wife. They had to downsize to a different house. They had to stay with her parents for a while. Yeah. But in the end, realized what was important. And you know what the neat thing was? He got back what he lost. But he changed his priorities, changed his life, and God, it's like God gave him back everything that he had before. Why? Because when we begin to put God's purposes and we begin to please him and put him first, God will bless you and the blessings will come, even in the midst of the tough times we may face. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning so much. We thank you for the plan and purpose in the destiny you have for our life. Lord, you have not forgotten your people. You have not forgotten us. You have not forgotten. You see everything. You know everything. It's for me never to understand everything. Lord, I don't want to, but I do want to understand that you have never left me or forsaken me. Nor have you left your people, nor have you left this place. But Father, we put our trust in you. We choose to worship you. We choose not to bow down, to compromise, to give in. But we choose to trust you to be righteous and do the right thing in order for the blessings to flow. Father, this morning I pray for each and every person in this place. Lord, they are blessed. They are blessed, and I speak blessing over their lives. I pray for promotions. I pray for breakthroughs. I pray for things to turn around and be the best they can be. Even again, Lord, when we face other things, we thank you that our focus is on you. Father, as we leave this place today, may we remember your goodness. May we remember that you have not forsaken us. You have not left us, but you have a plan and purpose, just like Joseph, Lord. When he felt all alone in that prison, Lord, when he felt like he was forgotten and forsaken. You never forgot him. But you had a plan and purpose for him, Lord, and he became second in command over the land of Egypt to save your people. Lord, we put our trust in you this morning. And we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, realizing how much we need you. So, Father, today we thank you. We thank you for sending Jesus. And that Jesus already knows what our destiny is. Thank you. We give you the praise. We give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Give the Lord praise. Come on.